In Luke chapter 14, verse 28, Luke records Jesus teaching, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it?" The Bible gives us the principles to determine the strategy. We may or may not be given specific guidance as to how we should approach the vision. We may or may not receive this guidance at the strategic or at the tactical level. However, just as Jesus taught the disciples to think and act according to the principles of the kingdom, so we too can develop our understanding of the principles of the kingdom and their application to the mission and ministry of our organizations. Strategy should be a team effort. It is not to be done alone. We should join with others who have diverse views and experiences. In Proverbs 15:22, Solomon says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Proverbs 20:18 says, "Make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance." We can plan for the future, but we must commit our plans to God. To man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 3. We, as Christian leaders, should use strategic foresight to plan for the future, but then commit the plans to the Lord that He would carry them out according to His will. By Dan Michael on regent.edu. All right, T, man, so obviously today we're talking about planning. It's a little bit about planning. And we're about to enter into 2024, so we thought this would be an appropriate topic for us to dive into and talk a little bit about how do we plan our upcoming year. Whenever you're listening to this, how do you set plans? How do you create those in advance? And so we're going to dive into that today. I hope that was encouraging to you, especially so much scripture in that cold open, which is always encouraging to me and probably to you, T. So how you doing, buddy?
Hey, What's going on, man? Great. I felt like you got in your Morgan Freeman like God voice there as you were reading that cold open. You get so focused on the inflection and the ups and the downs. I felt like it wasn't even
in Luke 14.
Exactly.
Verse 28. That's how I should be reading it. No, I agree with you 100%.
You'd be talking to yourself reading like that.
That'd be fantastic. Dude, man, I gotta tell you, this has nothing to do with anything. I just gotta share this because this makes me feel old and like I'm an adult. So this is way out of left field. So I'm asleep last night and I set an alarm to get up because I'm meeting a friend for breakfast. Alarm goes off. We've all had this. Alarm goes off and then you think you're awake, but then like 15 minutes later, you actually wake up, right? And you realize, oh my goodness, I woke up late. Well, what happened to me in the middle of those 15 minutes? I had a dream. I remembered this dream. We dream all the time, right? We just don't remember them. I had this dream that a toilet in my house was backed up and I had to unclog it. That was my dream. And I'm like, come on, brain, you got to come up with something better than that, man. Like, this is your chance. And it came up with a clogged toilet, and that's what I had to do in my dream.
It's a nightmare.
You're right, dude. Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. And then my buddy's like, well, do dreams mean something every time? Which we both don't think they do. And we're like, well, what would it mean? There's something in my life I need to flush.
The prophecy.
And it's stuck. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And I need to flush it.
Yes.
What is it? I got to find it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I got to unplug it. Yeah. You like that? That's good imagery.
Yeah, good job, man. That's a perfect, thanks, strong. Buddy. Everybody's really captivated.
Merry Christmas to everybody. That will be our Christmas gift to you. That's that story. Well, dude, man, planning is so. We've done a podcast episode before. We had Luke Acree on from Reminder Media talking about setting goals. Mm-hmm. But this has been really important to me as we think about it. I was just sitting down earlier today planning 2024. Shout out to if you guys want to come, we're doing a Faithful Agent Mastermind in Richmond, Virginia, faithfulagent.com/mastermind. And one of the main focuses of that day is going to be setting a plan and a purpose for 2024. So check that out. Hope you can join us. Only 40 tickets. Hopefully it won't sell out, but so fast, but we'd love for you to join us if you can make it. But I'm sitting here thinking about what is my plan for 2024? What are my intentions and working through that? And I've got some tactical ideas and thoughts around it as well. But man, reading through that, T, I want your take, bro. You know, we Scripture talks about it all the time, right? But we can plan for the future. We've got to commit our plans to God. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. What does that mean? How do we practically set plans and goals ahead of a coming year, or really at any point? How do we do that with intention and yet not hold on to it so tightly that we aren't handing those to God? What do you think?
Yeah, so this is a really, I think, great conversation to have about what it looks like to effectively goal set and to plan, because so much, every facet of our life has some degree of a goal that we're trying to accomplish, right? Obviously, professionally, but, you know, I challenge listeners and us, I mean, just we'll speak about what we do, but like personally, personal development, faith development, your family, how you want to lead your family, how you want to pursue your wife, like setting these goals. It's important. We need to take inventory of the things that you're doing well. You need to take accountability for the things that you're not, and not beat yourself up over those things. And it's a balance of saying, hey, I want to do these things better. I really want to create more time for my wife and I to be away from the kids, not in a getaway way, but in a way that we can invest into one another and pour into each other and really like have a pulse on what's going on as we're walking through life together. Like, I really want to get better at discipling my boys so that they know the gospel as early as they possibly can, so that, Lord willing, their hearts are changed by the Spirit. And so, you know, if we set this goal, like take that for an example, I want to set the goal of, like, I want my kids to know the Lord, but like, do I control that? No, it's true. That's abundantly clear that only God can change hearts. So is that a good goal for us to have for our children? Absolutely. Do we control the outcome of that goal? We don't. So does that make it not a good goal? Because so much of, you know, you read books about goal setting, you look into that thing, you got to be able to have a path, you have to craft a path to be able to get to achieve goals. Absolutely. Like, that's certainly true. But this example that I'm sharing is ultimately like the accomplishment of that goal in a binary nature of you did it or you didn't doesn't dictate the success of it, right? I mean, so much of Scripture teaches us about running our race well and the ability to be present and sanctification. Those are active verbs that are constantly ongoing and are never complete. So much of Scripture teaches us that we will be incomplete until the day that Christ returns and that we are made new. So our goals and the perspective that we have on them should align with that. Now, there's a healthy way to set goals too, that like you want to set them so that there's some that you will be able to achieve, right? Like if you talking professionally, let's switch gears over here. You want to set, you know, a certain amount of volume that you need to establish to be able to provide for your family. That's a great goal. Let's reverse engineer that. But like, why are we setting that goal, right? So we're setting a goal that we need to be able to provide X number of dollars to be able to take care of our family. Okay, is that the right number? Let's get clear on what that number is. Let's take it a layer deeper. So I think what we should talk about today is really like, how do we get to that goal? And really like the path of establishing them, not necessarily like how do we decide what direction we want to take our business or what are the priorities in our life? Like, let's talk about what those buckets are and then give some counsel on how to discern those.
Too many agents are feeling the weight of inauthentic action. Too many agents are bogged down with bad clients and ignoring their families. Too many agents are waking up each day, stepping into the hamster wheel and chasing an unending cycle. Well, it's time to step into something greater, my friends and fellow agents. That's why we introduced the Faithful Agent Group Coaching. If you've desired to know your God-given gifts and how to use those to build a God-honoring business, or if you long to be challenged, encouraged, and taught by other brothers and sisters in Christ who know not only your work, but also your heart, reach out to us for a call. We'd love to show you the power of a group of like-minded believers coming together to become more excellent in their work and their faith. If you want to learn more, visit faithfulagent.com/chat to grab a time to talk with me. Now, back to the show. I try to think a bit, and we've talked about this on the show, but our job is obedience. The Lord's job is outcome. Right. And so when I think about setting goals, or when I was spending time today planning for 2024, it is goals set around actions I can take, not necessarily outcome goals. Right. Now I have outcome goals. Don't get me wrong. but I can't control. For example, every real estate agent knows this market shifted on us, and overnight it felt like, right? We went from COVID, where the world shut down, and a lot of us couldn't even do business, to, oh my gosh, the market's insane. And then, oh my goodness, the rates went from 3 to 8, you know, literally it felt like a week. And so things changed on us. Now, I could look at my business and say, yeah, my business is down from last year. What did I do wrong, right? What do I have to fix? Whatever. And maybe there are things there. Don't get me wrong, but reality is, your job is obedience, the Lord's job is outcome. So the real question, the real measurement that we're looking at here, it's called faithful agent, right? Were you faithful to the things that you should do? If I was obedient in the work that I should do, then the Lord's going to determine that outcome. And I can still count that year, this year, as a success, even though it was down from the previous year. So I do want to encourage everybody. There's also, and we're going to talk about an upcoming episode about contentment, right? There's a piece of goal setting where it is so much of you just need to be discontent. You can never be happy with your goals. You've got to keep growing. You've got to keep going. Like, you did 50 deals, do 80 deals, do 100 deals. Why are you, you know, going any less than that? Double, double, double. If you're not growing, you're dying, right? There's so much around this concept. And I would just say, we've talked about this, T. I want to answer your question and get your thoughts. We've talked about on this show, right, the idea of the scoreboard, where if you're just tuning in, the mm-hmm. common agent scoreboard, you meet somebody and they say, well, how many deals did you do? What was your GCI? What was all that stuff, right? They just ask you those questions. And we tend to start measuring what the world measures. Well, we want to take back the scoreboard and create our own vision for what success looks like, right? So, for example, here's how I actually structure this, T, is we're going to talk about it at the Richmond Mastermind. But I structure my scoreboard. I'm actually physically looking at it on a whiteboard. What I structure my scoreboard is, I have 5 categories: family, health, financial, spiritual, and then the last one, not business, I call it purposeful work, which I can explain. But it's those 5 categories. And there's one thing in each of those 5 categories, and that's what's going to be on my scoreboard for the year. These are the things that I intend to accomplish this year that matter to me. And it gives credence. So I start there, right? I start there, and it starts with prayer. Lord, what do you desire for me? That's the real question. What do you desire for me? It starts there. Now, I'm not going to get it accurate, right? Not perfect, but it starts there. And then it dives into the question of, now that I know what my goal is in whatever, family, how, right? The next question is just how. And so now, like you talked about, T, now I start to get a little bit more granular on how do I actually execute these things? And we dive into that. So I'll dive into that here in a second, but those are the 5 categories: family, health, financial, spiritual, and purposeful work, which we'll dive some more into, man. Yeah. But do you have a specific... Go ahead.
No, I want to follow up on that. Let's drill in. You said you're going to pick one of each of those things this year that you're going to set a goal in?
That's right, yeah.
Or you're going to set one goal in each of those buckets, sorry.
Goal in each bucket.
Okay. Yep. Let's do one. Let's do your family. Have you figured your family out yet? Let's do one bucket real quick.
100%.
So what's your one goal? And then let's take it to the granular level after that.
Yeah, well, that's the more difficult one, because it's take every other Friday off. And mm-hmm. my how that I wrote down was, just don't work on that every other Friday. Like, that's the how.
That's how you do it.
I mean, that's it. Now I did it. All right, guys. Good job. Yeah. Congratulations. Right. No, so, my spirituals is read the Bible every day.
Yeah.
Right. So, and again, how do I do that? I do it. That's what I wrote down. Just do it. Yeah. You know, now some of them are more complicated. So, for example, you guys know I'm working on a book. That's my purposeful work. But then I'll say health. I want to get down to 195 pounds. Having babies has really done in my body. It's just hard to recover, right? I mean, you know, all those things. But get down to 195 pounds. So that's my health goal. So my 3 hows, to get granular, my 3 hows were to be intentional about what I eat, to hire a dietitian, and to up my average sleep time per night to 7.5 hours a night. Those are my 3 things, right? I think that if I do those 3 things, I can get to this 195 pounds. Mm-hmm. And so it is taking some of these is, I think the what we tend to, what tends to happen, and you tell me your experience, but what tends to happen is we swing for way too many things all at once, right? And it's, you know, I made
$100,000, and so I want to make $500,000 next year. Now, I'm not saying that's not possible, right? But we just take we set goals because they make us feel better about ourselves. Well, a goal doesn't get done, right? A plan gets done. A priority gets done. What are the purposes that you're setting in front of you? What are you laying in front of yourself? What are you putting on your scoreboard? What are you committing to do, take action on, that you can actually measure, right? Again, I am physically looking at my scoreboard right there on that whiteboard right in front of me that I just wrote it down. Publish my book. Take every other Friday off, right? My first two. I can look and it's a visual of, am I on track for doing those things, right? That's the goal for me to take. Now, most agents, I think most people would say, I want to lose weight. I want to do this. I want to make more money. I want to go more vacation. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to read my Bible every day. Like all of this stuff that ends up just complicating. And then we start to feel like we're failing, right? Even in there's a great book called Finish by John Acuff. Love John Acuff as a writer. They did this massive study. It's like 10,000 people, T, and he had them set goals, right? How many of them hit their goals? And it was some small percentage. And then he said, okay, now you're going to take your goal and you're going to cut it in half, right? Literally cut it in half. And he said, now you're going to go for that goal. And it was like double or maybe triple. I don't remember. It's been a little while since I've read it, but double or triple the amount of people actually ended up hitting their original goal by cutting their goal in half, right? They actually hit the original one. Why? Because they were intentional about not setting too many things they were aiming for. And then they gave them wins along the way, right? That's why we come down into the how. Well, publish my book. Step number one for me is have the entire manuscript done by January 31st. Now I can look and we look and we'll say, oh, I got to publish a book. Well, that means I have 365 days. Well, that's not helpful. So January 31st is my first check-in. Did I do what I said I was going to do? If not, I better get on it, right? So we can't just have goals and say, this is what I hope. That's not helpful. You need an actual plan. And scripture is even clear about that, right? Make plans by seeking it. No, that's not the right one. So suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? What does that mean? That means here's my goal, but then I got to sit down and I got to use my rational brain the Lord's given me and say, can I get this done? Mm-hmm. Right? Where am I going to achieve this goal? Go ahead, bud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really good. And I want to just take one little snippet that you mentioned in there and just like clarify for some of our listeners here, because I think this is an important topic to talk about. You mentioned like just even offhandedly, and I'm not calling you out here. This is just for like the idea of, I made $100,000 this year and I'm going to make, maybe my goal is $500,000. It's an offhanded comment. You're just using it as an example. So, but like, I want to bring that up because I think what it speaks to for a lot of folks that are listening, and I confess that I struggle with this too sometimes, is that you feel like the goal that you set should be something that other people will approve, right? Like, or something that society says, like, this is what you should do. Why set your goal for, and then you went on to talk about this more, but why set your goal for $100,000? Why not 500? Why not a million? Like, why can't you do this? And there's a lot of positivity that can come from like the commitment to believing in yourself, to accomplishing things, and not in a manifestation way, but in a desire of setting lofty goals and then running hard at them. There is so much good in that. But if you are setting a goal because you think that's what other people's expectations for your life are, then you're not setting your own goals. You're setting the goals for the fake life you're trying to live for the people around you. And if you even accomplish those, the only joy that you're getting out of accomplishing the goal that you're setting for other people is by saying that you accomplished them so that your affirmation can come, or that your identity can be rooted in their affirmation for you achieving the goal that you thought they wanted you to do. So like, even if you do accomplish something amazing, the motivation for setting that goal was rooted in somebody else's approval rather than in your own contentment or in your own convictions. And so it's just this constant snowball effect. You're getting farther and farther away from what the ultimate goal is being who you are made to be, doing that well and with conviction and with purpose. And so I just say that to like encourage, as you think about setting goals conceptually, or like from a conceptual standpoint, you need to set them based on what you are trying to accomplish, based on the convictions and the passions that you have. If your goal is that I want to make 60 grand this year. I want to take so that I could, that's exactly what I need from the budget to take care of my family or to take care of my wife or wherever, whatever that number is. Like the number is irrelevant. What the onus behind that or the motivation behind that is you should have the discretion to say, this is what we need. Now, I would encourage you to, you know, to challenge yourself to provide not only for what your family needs, but if you have the capacity and the talent that you've been given to challenge yourself and push farther so that you can honor the Lord by doing what you do in excellence and also, you know, contributing to the people around you, contributing to the community around you. But if that causes you to sacrifice the priority of your family, pursuing the Lord, taking you away from the conviction, then the number is the number. Like you need to get clear on the motivation that you have in your heart and what your ultimate purpose is and not let a book or a podcast or somebody else around you who's saying like, my goal is to, you know, make $1 million this year in GCI. And you're like, that's great. Like, am I not supposed to do that? Like, if I'm not doing that,
why don't I do that too?
You know, like
I can do that. I'm sure.
I had to talk to you about this before. We've talked so much. Like, early on in our relationship, obviously everybody's read the Red Book, or most people in real estate have read the Millionaire Real Estate Agent by Gary Keller's, great book, great business model. It's worked for a lot of people. Like, obviously an incredibly smart guy. But one time you looked at me and you're like, what if I don't want to be that guy? Like, what if I don't want to grow a business to be that big? Ultimately it results, like the end game is to exit out and be able to sell something that you're not doing anything. But like, what if I don't want to spend the next 10 years of my life completely consumed by building this 7-step system? And I've lost however many steps along the way. I've lost my own self along the way, trying to get to that one goal that I may or may not accomplish. One, and two, like, is that really what I need? Is that what I need? Like, that's a great goal because, that's a playbook that's been set out and it's a pinnacle of a business performance. And the exit or the end game of that is obviously significant financial success and impact on a lot of people's lives around you. All that stuff is so, so good. But like, you had this moment of realization, like, that's not what I want to do. And you actually are like, I want to encourage people to know that that's okay. I want to teach people to know that if they want to be the one agent and one admin that, does 40 deals a year, 50 deals a year, and builds their business just on relationships, that is a glorifying way to run a business. And I'm going to be intentional about the people that I pursue. Like, I don't need to be the number one agent where I am. I don't need to be the name on the billboards or the first person everybody talks about. But it is so easy for us to just say that because that's the right answer, quote unquote. That is the programmed answer. It's the same way, like when I was playing ball, like people are, if your goal's not to, you ask any Division I college baseball player right now, hey man, what's your goal? What are you trying to get? I'm gonna play in the major leagues. I'm gonna tell you, buddy, like there's 100,000 of you guys out there right now, and like a couple hundred of you maybe are gonna get there. So like, you guys are all saying that, but like, I'm not trying to rain on your parade. Like, I don't want to sit here and sound like cynical or like telling people, oh, that's a bad goal, you can't do that. But I'm just using that as an example to say that everybody, you get programmed to think that has to be the right answer. I have to have blinders on the big, mighty, unattainable, or like the farthest end game goal, because if I'm not, then people are going to think that I'm, not ambitious, or they're going to think that I'm not a hard worker. They're going to think that I'm lazy. Like those are lies that we hear, the lies that we're told based on society and what we have in ourselves. So I'm going on a long-winded, rant about this, but I believe, and there's so much contentment, to use that word, there's so much peace that comes with making decisions on your own, like with setting goals on your own, with being confident of what the convictions you have in your heart are, rather than being so influenced by the world around you. Now, take that stuff. It's good too. Be sharpened by the people around you. Be rebuked if you are being lazy. Be rebuked if you're setting the bar too low and that you're just doing the bare minimum so that you can accomplish it and just say like, oh, I'm good in that. Be rebuked in that. That is not what I'm saying at all. But also be encouraged to know that if you have confidence and conviction that this is what you want to do, and maybe it's not what the guy on YouTube is telling you that he's made $1 billion doing, like, be okay with that too. Find peace in that.
Yeah, I love that. I think the concept of setting goals is really how gripped are you by ego? how gripped are you by the world's perspective of you, right? And all of us are to some degree. Let's be realistic as believers. All of us are. But this ego that would say, laziness, right? I think it's one or the other. Like we tend to fall. But this ego that would say, oh, I'm going to build a massive team, a massive business, all those things. Again, if that's what the Lord has laid in your heart, that's amazing. Or it's like you said, T, or I'll sell 5 homes and that's good. And that might be what you're called to do. Here's the difference though. Here's my tactical advice and wisdom, if I have any, to share with you. And it would be this. Set a goal that requires you to become more excellent to achieve it. That's the way I want to set goals. Set a goal that requires you to become more excellent to achieve it. Because becoming more excellent is honoring to the Lord, right? Setting something that is way out there and is some crazy goal that like it's probably not going to happen. You know, that sometimes isn't helpful. Sometimes that's just defeating and you get so far behind. But I think at the end of the day, when I think of the goals that I set, when I think of what it is that the Lord desires for me, right? Again, I focus more on my job as obedience, not outcome. The irony is we are taught so hardcore to, well, set a goal. What's your 2024 goal? I know there's 12-week year. I know people compress that, all this stuff. But what's your 2024 goal, right? And someone might say, my goal is to sell 20 homes. And that's amazing. But we're asking humans who in the same breath, if I said, hey, tell me exactly what's going to happen next week, you'd be like, I can't. There's no way for me to tell you that. Why are you asking me that question, right? But yet we show up and we say, well, you better tell me what's going to happen a year from now and you better make that come true. That's impossible. I'm a human. I can't do that. I don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. Tyler might quit on me. It's possible. I don't even know if you'll be, I don't know if I'll be here. I don't know what's going to happen. And yet we bought into this idea that we can forecast the future and then we better do whatever we've got to do to get there. I do not think that's a biblical concept. I think the biblical concept is we lay it before the throne, lay it at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I need to understand. Go back and listen to the episode on purpose. How did you make me? What do you desire for me, right? What do you desire for me? Where are these gifts that I have? And in particular, here's what I mean. Someone says, you're out there audience and you say, you know what? What I feel like I'm really good at is social media or open houses. Let's say open houses. Then you say, okay, the Lord made me that way. Here's my goal for 2024. If I did, 10 open houses this year, whatever. That doesn't seem like a lot. I don't know. If I did 10 open houses this year and I got 5 deals out of it, well, I'm going to set a goal to go get 10 deals out of open houses. Why? Because it's going to require me to become more excellent in what the Lord has already gifted me in. And that is a good and honoring thing to God. And I think if we approach it that way and exactly what you said, T, we don't want to, it's common for me. I do this. I set my goals. And then I'm talking to a friend about theirs. I'm like, oh, dude, maybe I need to set bigger goals, right? And there's no problem with thinking big. Again, we can't get into every single nuance in this podcast. But exactly what you said, someone's playing baseball and they're like, well, I'm going to make it to the major leagues. Amazing. I would hope that you would desire that you would become so excellent that you could become one of the best players in all the whole world. Right? I think that's amazing. But if you go out there and you just say what everyone wants you to say, this is the idea of the scoreboard, and you explained it well, T, that you're just letting someone else give you the way to keep score. Well, if we're honest, the way we keep score is how we're going to make decisions. If I'm going to make decisions based off what I'm measuring and what my goals are, right? So if my goal is to sell 100 houses and it's whatever, it's July and I've only done 20. Well, guess what happens? Now I take every meeting, I go show houses at night, I'm gone on the weekends. It doesn't matter. I work, right? Now there's a place for that sometimes. Again, we can't answer every question in nuance here, but is that what the Lord has called you to? Is that your ego driving you? Was that the goal you should have set? Or is the Lord saying, hey, listen, and all throughout scripture, we're going to do an episode soon on money and trusting in the Lord. He says he'll provide for us. So what does that mean? It means I can spend more time asking that question, What do you desire from me, Lord? How do I go do that? And so here's, as we wrap up this episode, here's my encouragement. You go and you spend time before the Lord and you say, Lord, in these areas of my life, family, health, purposeful work, which purposeful work to me means not just what you do, whatever, but God, again, what are you calling me to do? For me, it's writing this book. I believe I'm supposed to get this message out to help people. Family, health, purposeful work, finances, and spiritual. Lord, what do you desire from me in these areas? He's not going to audibly tell you, right? It is this idea that you're going to seek him, and through the stirrings of the Spirit within you, you will have ideas. Write them down. And then exactly as we read in the cold open, we as Christian leaders should use strategic foresight to plan for the future, but then commit the plans to the Lord that he would carry them out according to his will. Agents, we love you. This is a difficult process and concept. Remember, just as he said here, seek wisdom from people around you to help you with what is difficult. Where should I focus my time, energy, and attention? What does the Lord desire of you? We love you, agents. We'll see you next week. Hey, faithful agents, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I hope it encouraged you to both grow your business and your faith. And as always, make sure you share this episode with a friend who you think would be encouraged by it. And join us on our Facebook group if you aren't there yet to come together with the other faithful agents around the country. Just go to facebook.com and search The Faithful Agent. And if you want to be encouraged more locally, because after all, local groups is where the real growth and change happens, go to faithfulagent.com/local groups to check out what we've got going on. And if there isn't a group near you, you can reach out to us right there and tell us you're interested in starting your own. Thank you as always for tuning into this episode. We hope to see you next week.